Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We want to bring in 2nd District Congressman Joe Courtney here on Brian and Company. Sir, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
What was your day like yesterday? Can you take me through the timeline?
Well, I actually was out in the district making a couple of stops that had already been, you know, pre-scheduled. Obviously, though, you know, people's number one, two, and three question is what's happening over in Iran. And at this point, I'm in Connecticut flying down in about an hour or so because we have our first briefing to the House members at 5 o'clock tonight. There's going to be a vote on Thursday on the War Powers Act resolution, which I'm a co-sponsor of. And, there's obviously been a lot of reporting about some of the other briefings that took place yesterday with the leaders of the defense committees, the chair and ranking members. So, again, I think there's lots of issues that I certainly want to hear about from both General Kane, Hegseth, and Rubio. And as I said, I mean, I think, that, you know, there's problems that our office is picking up. There's constituents who are over in the Middle East, and particularly a couple students in Dubai, who right now U.S. citizens are being told to depart now, full caps. The problem is there's no commercial flights that you can really get a ticket for to get home. And other governments are sending planes over there to pick up their nationals. But so far, the U.S. Embassy has said pretty much, you know, do what you can, which is not very helpful in terms of, people who had no idea that something like this was going to happen. So anyway, there's that. But there's also obviously our military forces, the strike in Kuwait where six service members were lost is Shahid drones that penetrated our air defenses. And lots of concern about whether or not we have enough interceptors over there for all the military bases that are spread out throughout the Middle East that are being targeted right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they have a couple thousand of them, and what they learned maybe against Israel a couple of years back is the only way to penetrate is to flood the zone. We're talking with Congressman Joe Courtney here on Brian and Company. The War Powers Act, what's in it? And what if it passes, and does it have a chance of passing in a Republican-dominated House?
I mean, we'll see. The platform of the Republican Party was no more forever wars. We weren't going to get into regime change. And it's not just Thomas Massey and, a couple of others who believe that. I mean, that actually is pretty widespread throughout the caucus. The White House obviously is furiously lobbying to hold the line against passage of the War Powers Act. But again, this is a law passed in 1973. It basically says unless there's a declaration of war or Congress has authorized the use of military force, basically military operations has to halt. That's Section 5C of the law, which actually spells that out clearly. And
there have been Democrat and Republican presidents who have not followed that, correct?
There's no question that's the case. That does still, as I said, it still has meaning given the fact that the White House, as I said, is furiously lobbying against passage of this. The only consultation really, and this is true of the American people, 3 minutes out of Trump's speech last week, and I was in the room, was devoted to Iran, very vague general comments that were there, and then an 8-minute video that they taped in the middle of the night on Saturday. And yesterday's, press conference where he talked about the ballroom and curtains. This is a situation that is very serious. There's lots of scenarios that could play out in terms of long-term impact. And there's already talk about sending more forces into the region over the last 24 hours. That is not what the American people signed up for in the 2024 election. I believe that in my bones.
Yeah, we're talking with Joe Cordy. You know, I want to pivot since we're I don't get you often enough, although I want to make sure, like, you know, I understand the consultation and approval thing. I also worry about lives in danger by if there were leaks, and there's obviously a lack of trust there. Just real quickly before I have two other subjects I want to get to, anything else you want to say on this particular topic?
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, the force protection, given the fact that we've got tens of thousands of people over there, and it didn't work very well in Kuwait the other day, is something that, you know, it was not about a leak. It's really about whether or not, you know, the administration had really done its due diligence in terms of being ready for what was totally predictable in terms of, you know, counterstrikes. And again, Wall Street Journal yesterday, you know, had a front page story about the fact that, you know, the number of missiles in some scenarios will surpass the number of interceptors that we have over there. And that's a big problem.
Yeah, there's no doubt that is a strategy. And again, I mentioned we've seen that with Israel. Congressman Joe Cordy from the 2nd District here on Bryan & Company. Quickly, anything new on the, you know, it's amazing that the partial government shutdown and DHS funding was front and center, you know, like 2 weeks ago. Yep. And now no one says a word about it. Anything going to move there?
So, again, there's legislation that's pending in the House that would do a carve out that basically would protect all the other non-ICE agencies within the Department of Homeland Security, Coast Guard, TSA, FEMA, Secret Service. I'm a co-sponsor of that measure. You know, given the fact that ICE already has funding from the HR1 that passed last year, it would seem like a very common sense way to solve this problem. And you know, we'll find out probably tomorrow morning when you know, we get a update from the Appropriations Committee, what's going on. The White House has not really responded in a meaningful way in terms of trying to change ICE rules, which, again, 400 courts have ruled against them and thousands of judgments. So right. There's something broken there.
What about the SAVE Act? I mean, I've said this for years and years and years. Again, I'm an unaffiliated independent. I'm not a Republican, yeah. Not a Democrat. I've always wondered in the modern world why it's difficult to get an ID. Like, and I'm being honest, this is not partisan. Like, what is your stance on this piece of legislation?
So Connecticut has voter ID. I mean, anybody listening knows that you can't vote in Connecticut without bringing identification. The question is, you know, what is, you know, the accepted, you know, forms of ID? And again, the Connecticut law has worked flawlessly. And there's also, you know, a requirement when you register to vote that you have to swear under oath with penalties of federal crimes that you're an American citizen. So, you know, the Heritage Foundation, Cato, these are right of center groups, to say the least, have done analysis in terms of illegals voting in American elections. And it's microscopic in terms of, you know, what the quote unquote problem is that's out there right now. So, you know, handing over all our voter files to the Department of Homeland Security so that they can run it through their flawed computer system in terms of who's a citizen in this country means people are going to be bounced off the voter rolls completely innocent and who are going to see their right to vote impacted. And again, the Constitution actually, just for, you know, the record, is it gives the states the authority to set the time, manner, and place for elections. This is not an issue, in my opinion, for the federal government.
Right. Congressman, and again, it's so valuable to have you speak to the constituents and the people of Connecticut. We appreciate the time. Safe travels.
Always happy to join you. Thanks. Take care.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.